ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter 3, the Bhumi Gita, text number 34 to 38. I'll read 34, 5, 6, and 7, and we'll chant together verse 38. Hrishavya kaya mahara burya patya gataheya shashtvat kotu kabashinya as korya maya vushahasho. Translation. Women will become much smaller in size. They will eat too much. They will have more children than they can properly take care of. And they will lose all shyness. They will always speak harshly and will exhibit qualities of thievery, deceit, and unrestrained audacity. Just as a side note, I have a Teflon vest on today, so... Text number 35. Businessmen will engage in petty commerce and earn their money by cheating. Even when there is no emergency, people will consider any degraded occupation quite acceptable. Purport. Although other occupations are available, people do not hesitate to work in coal mines, slaughterhouses, steel mills, deserts, floating oil rigs, submarines, and other equally abominable situations. As also mentioned here, businessmen will consider cheating and lying to be perfectly respectable in manners of business. These are all symptoms of the age of Kali. Text 36. Servants will abandon a master who has lost his wealth, even if that master is a saintly person of exemplary character. Masters will abandon an incapacitated servant, even if that servant has been in the family for generations. Cows will be abandoned or killed when they stop giving milk. In India, the cow is considered sacred not because Hindu people are primitive worshippers of mythological totems, but because Hindus intelligently worship the cow as the mother. As children, nearly all of us are nourished with cow's milk, and therefore the cow was one of our mothers. Certainly one's mother is sacred, and therefore one should not kill the sacred cow. Text 37. In Kali Yuga, men will be wretched and controlled by women. They will reject their fathers, brothers, and other relatives and friends, and will instead associate with the sisters and brothers of their wives. Thus, their conception of friendship will be based exclusively on sexual ties. And today's verse, text 38. Sudra prati grahi syanti. Tapo Visho Pajivina Dhamam Vakshyantya Dhamagya Adhiru Yo Tamasanam Sudra Prati Grahishyanti Tapo Visho Pajivina Dharma Vakshyantya Dharma Gya Adhiruhu Tamasanam Sudra Pati Grihishyanti Tapo Visha Pajivina Dharma Vakshyantya Dharma Gya Adhiruho tamasanam. Just chant.
Shuddha Prati Grahishyanti Tapo Visho Pajivina.
Sudra.
Sudra.
Lowly common workers.
Lowly common workers.
Pati grahi shanti.
Will accept religious charity.
Tapa.
By shows of austerity.
Vesha.
And by dressing as a mendicant.
Upa jiva na.
Earning their living.
Dharmam.
The principles of religion.
Vakshanti.
Will speak about.
A dharma gya.
Those who know nothing about religion.
Adhiruya.
Mounting.
Uttama asana.
A high seat.
Translation. Uncultured men will accept charity on behalf of the Lord and will earn their livelihood by making a show of austerity and wearing a mendicant's dress. Those who know nothing about religion will mount a high seat and presume to speak on religious principles. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The epidemic of bogus gurus, swamis, priests, and so forth is explicitly described here.
Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Jayati Agirim Yak Kripatamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarino Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sri Vasudi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Avancha kalpatirubhyascha kripa sindhu bhavacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha.
Very important, especially at the beginning of a selection of verses like this, to request the mercy of the Vaishnavas, because this selection of verses is an equal offender. Everybody gets offended equally. We start off with the women, and so I'm just the piano player, don't shoot me. Ridhananda Goswami gave a class here some number of years ago, some very, very highly polarizing verse from the Bhagavatam, as the Bhagavatam verses are meant to be. And at the end he said, so on this highly non-political, non-socially diverse subject, I'll try and say a few words. it's commonly understood that translators in the field of diplomatic relationships between countries and like that, they sometimes speak harsh words that they're only speaking because they're being asked to translate. This is what the person has said. They're not held responsible for what they say. Sometimes they, in their own understanding of how to do things, will soften those words or change those words so that they're not as harsh. This, of course, is not the practice of speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada prided himself on as it is. It's spoken that way in the Bhagavatam, therefore we speak that way. We're simply speaking on behalf of the practitioners and the teachers of Srimad Bhagavatam that come before us. As Prabhupada said, the mailman does not take anything from what he delivers. He simply takes it and gives it completely. If you get your monthly social security check in the mail, you open it up, you don't see that mailman fee X amount. There is no mailman fee for it. So he's just giving it. So in the same way, you know, what we're noting here is being directly given from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, we can take a little bit of comfort in the fact that there's no fingers really being pointed. So it is certainly worth noting that these words here are about the low-class qualities of all of us, men and women alike, businessmen, politicians, everyone. These are the descriptions being spoken about the by the most capable personality, one who's extremely appropriate to give these instructions, and that would be Mother Bhumi herself. Thus the title is in chapter, the Bhumi Gita. Of course, in our early days, we thought there was only one Gita, and that was the Bhagavad Gita, and there was nothing else, and anything else was completely wrong. But we see as we become a bit more knowledgeable that there are many different Gitas. The Bhumi Gita, the Uddhava Gita, which we just recently finished. So
in this Bhumi Gita, Mother Bhumi is assessing the state of affairs. You know, it's very popular in government circles to have the State of the Union address. Just recently, we had the State of the Union address for the state of Florida. Before that, at the beginning of the year, was the State of the Union address for the United States of America. These are given by the leaders, the controlling factors of that entity. Excuse me. The controlling factor of the earth, of course, is Mother Bhumi. So she's giving her State of the Union, if you will. Now, I'm sure Mother Mati and Prema will back me up on this, that the reality of this culture is that the grandmother runs the show. It may appear otherwise. It may appear that everything's being done and organized in this way and that way. But behind the scenes, it's approved by the grandmother, it doesn't happen. Correct? Isn't this right?
100%.
The grandmother doesn't approve of it, some still doesn't get married. The grandmother doesn't approve of it, the business isn't open. So on like this, you know, this is the way it goes. So Prabhupada even famously noted that in these kind of social dealings, women should be consulted because they have a particular type of vision and angle on these things that men don't possess. So with that in mind, if your grandmother calls you out as being lazy, dumb, half-witted, and prone towards cheating and thievery, it would be a pretty serious assessment of your character and principles. This, you know, the grandmother has the ability to do that. You know, oh, that one's so lazy. Oh, this one, will he ever get a decent job? You know, this is, and their words may be dismissed by the person they're speaking about, but they're never taken lightly as a guiding light in the family. So here we have the topmost of grandmothers, if you will, Mother Bhumi, pointing out the bad qualities of all of us, regardless of our sex, man or woman. And why? Because we're all in this degraded age. Now, it should be noted, and it is noteworthy, that the title of this chapter is The Age of Degradation. So we don't open a chapter entitled The Age of Degradation expecting to find many glorious words said about the people, many wonderful statements made about them, and much praise and adoration put forth. No. She confirms this. This is the duty of the granddaughter to confirm what the grandfather says. It's her first grandfather Srimad Bhagavatam class. May you have many more. At any rate, so we shouldn't expect this to be filled with glorification. At the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kalo asmin yuge jnana manda sumanda matayo manda bhaga hyapadrita. In the iron age of Kali, all people are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, if those weren't bad enough, above all, always disturbed. Prabhupada said, when one is peaceful, one can chant Hare Krishna. So if one's mind is always disturbed, how can one peacefully execute devotional principles? So therefore, this is the symptom given at the very beginning of Bhagavatam. We don't have to wait till the 12th canto. We can find it right at the beginning. The sages point it right out. Oh, you're in Kali Yuga? Oh, I'm so sorry. You're lazy, misguided, unlucky, quarrelsome, and always disturbed. Anything else? So we shouldn't expect anything other than these words from Mother Bhumi. No one should open this chapter and read it and be shocked. Well, how can she say such things? First of all, she's qualified to say such things. She's the predominating deity of the planet we live on. And second of all, this is the age for this type of attitude. Now, it's important we shouldn't think that this type of critique is false. You know, that the greater mood of hearing this is important, and we shouldn't reject these words being given by Bhumi as mere fault finding. In our Saturday morning Chaitanya Charitamrita classes over the past three or four Saturdays, excuse me, there's been a lot of focus and discussion on the activities of Ramchandra Puri and the activities and mentality of his followers in the way of pointing out the faults of everyone else. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is not like such harsh words that are given to cause us to recoil, that causes to turn a deaf ear or a blind eye, and that causes not to hear the instructions. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam, they are of a different caliber altogether. We
cannot and should not dismiss them as being, oh, just someone pointing out faults. This is not the purpose. There are sections of the Bhagavatam which do that, because that is the process of understanding how to correct ourselves. We cannot correct ourselves if we don't admit to the fact that we have faults which need correcting. Oh, I'm reading Bhagavatam, but none of this applies to me because I'm a perfect person. No, you need to read Bhagavatam one time, two times, three times, maybe 10 times, because none of us have that. So the Bhagavatam words, they're meant for one purpose, to bring about a revolution in mankind. A revolution in mankind. Not a revolution with pitchforks and torches and burning and pillaging and turning over vehicles. Not that kind of revolution. A revolution in consciousness. A revolution by which we can change the view we have of this world. In an early Bhagavatam class in 1972 in Los Angeles, Prabhupada was speaking from the second canto. Mana nukulam prabhase Bhagavata pradana. Your words, this is the listeners, your words are pleasing to our mind because they are spoken by the chief of the great devotees. So these types of words from the Srimad Bhagavatam, for one who's serious, they should please the mind. We shouldn't recoil. We shouldn't turn a deaf ear. We shouldn't neglect these instructions. They should bring us great pleasure. Not only the words glorifying Krishna in the Bhagavatam, but the words giving these types of practical instruction. It should be a great pleasure, pleasing to the mind. This is how we can understand if I'm making some advancement. Are the words of Srimad Bhagavatam pleasing to my mind? Now, Prabhupada goes on further in that class to say, those who are serious about understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth, for them, immediately, God becomes entrapped in their heart. God is there in the heart, but especially you can capture God. How? If there is a discussion between devotees. So this is why we have Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. This is why daily we gather like this and we discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam. We use it to try and capture the Lord who's within our heart, but outside of our heart as well. Now we may look around this room and take the number of persons here and put that in an equation against the number of persons in this community and think, not so many listening. Ruchira mentioned the other day in her class about the internet. I was reminded when she said that some number of years ago, ITV was doing a little promo, and it opened with one devotee was in his bedroom, in his bed, and the alarm clock went off. And the devotee got up and rubbed his eyes and, oh, sat up and pulled up the remote control and turned on the TV at the other side of the room, and there was Mangal Arti, which means Borkavish, and pulled off his cartels and sat up in bed. Samsara dava nanalita loka. And then at that point, Nishriyananda Prabhu came on and said, well, it hasn't gotten quite that bad yet. Well, it has. At any rate, we do know that the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam has multiple formats nowadays. You know, it's not that everyone can sit here. Many people are listening over the internet while they're preparing for their daily trip to the office, while they're driving to the office, while they're getting the kids ready for school, while they're driving to school. All of these different scenarios. The important thing is to hear the Bhagavatam. Because the class is being recorded, it gives people the opportunity to go in later in the day. Okay, let me hear the Bhagavatam. It doesn't say Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya at 8 o'clock. It says Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You regularly hear the Bhagavatam. Okay, so I'll hear it in the afternoon. Whatever the case is, we have to regularly hear the Bhagavatam. Living room, temple room, hopefully not the bedroom, you know, while sitting in bed. But at any rate, so in this way, we have this opportunity. And by hearing these words, we should become joyful. Our mind should become pleased. Then we can know that the benefit of the Bhagavatam is having its effect. Now, also last week, both Ruchira and Sesha made two points that I thought were important that I'd like to explore a bit. Sesha talked about how there's no shelter in this age of Kali based on the verses that he had. And Ruchira talked about how there's no service given.
These are the two essential points of human life. It's important if we're going to execute our life peacefully and properly. It's important to understand what is essential and what is not essential. From another class that Prabhupada gives on the second canto, he says, development of Krishna consciousness means anartha upashama. Anartha means things we do not require. Artha means what is essentially required. And anartha means that which is not required. That something we have artificially requisitioned. So these two things are noted by Sesha and Ruchira both, that what is artha? Artha, what is essential for our human life, is service and shelter. We must have shelter. We must be able to give shelter. We must give service. And we also have to be a means for accepting some service. These things are essential in human life. And if we have these things properly established within our life, then the bad qualities of Kali Yuga, they can be surpassed. Even all these prominent qualities listed, regardless of whether we're men, women, businessmen, politicians, whatever, if we have these two principles established in our life, then all of these other bad qualities can be overstepped. Now, this chapter notes that these are not qualities that we're easily going to find in this age, the mood to give service and the mood of shelter. If we go back to the summary of this verse, I always like to refer to the summary on these verses whenever you give a class, because it kind of gives a little. It says here that in the age of Kali, the mode of darkness, ignorance, is prominent. Atheism, the smallness and inferiority of all things, and devotion to the genitals and belly are very much evident in the age of Kali. We're not finding devotion to Radhasham Sundar being so prominent. We're not finding devotion to the words of the Bhagavatam. If you go about conversation with the common man in this age, you'll find devotion to the genitals and to the belly. Living entities contaminated by the influence of Kali do not worship the Supreme Lord Sri Hari. So these are some of the descriptions that are the anarthas of Kali Yuga, things that we don't need. The ones listed in this verse, there's just five verses, by the way. Loss of shyness, speaking harshly, exhibiting qualities of thievery, deceit, and unrestrained audacity, earning money by cheating, abandoning religious duties, killing cows, being wretched, being controlled by sex, giving up family ties, falsely accepting charity, and speaking on religion without any knowledge of religion. That's a list, and that's only five verses out of the chapter. So we can just see from just this little micro view of this chapter that the qualities of Kali Yuga are pretty intense. The essential principles of human life are completely missing. In these verses alone, we don't see any beneficial qualities of human life mentioned. And as a result of that, we don't find any shelter. Without getting proper qualities of human life, without having proper understanding, there's no question of having shelter. So this is all because these qualities are exhibited by everyone in this age. Now, mothers, they generally, we don't see that they speak harshly. We generally don't want to find that they steal and cheat their own children. But in this age, we find that that does happen. They do speak very harshly. They do steal. They cheat their own children. Businessmen, they lie and sell all types of products that they may have labeled as pure and this and that, but in reality, what's in the product is completely polluted. Politicians, they care not for the activities of their people they govern, the people that they're responsible for. They have no idea what responsibility for those people means. They care only for their selfish interest. We see this all over the world. Any particular country, any particular government, there's so many places that are in crisis in the world right now because the leadership is completely corrupt. I believe Seisha mentioned that the Idi Amin, who was, you know, a cannibal, eating his own people, you know. So, I mean, these are the types of politicians in this age. Men, they act with complete despicable contempt for others. And because of this, they're very mean-spirited towards others. They're controlled by all types of sex desire. And priests, they cheat and they lie and they steal just like politicians do. So with all of these things going on, where is the shelter? There is no shelter. No shelter at all can be found in this circumstance. Now the last verse, the translation here, uncultured men will accept charity on behalf of the Lord and will earn their livelihood by making a show of austerity and wearing a mendicant's dress. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes speak about persons who appear to be within our ISKCON society and dress as devotees, but really have ulterior motives. We even saw this in the time of Mahaprabhu, persons who were dressed in one way, visually, externally, but their heart had a completely different mood. Earlier in the, I think it was verse 37, it mentions about even in a time of emergency, people would do anything. Prabhupada would point out that in an emergency, in a genuine emergency, a Brahmin may accept the role of a Kshatriya. It might be necessary that they not perform simply Brahminical activities, take up a role of a Kshatriya. Bhagavatam is filled with such scenarios. Or a Brahmin may even, in times of emergency, accept the role of a Vaishya. He says, in no circumstance will a Brahmin accept the role of a Sudra. Of course, what do you do when everybody in the age is Sudras? There are no real Brahmins. So we find that this becomes a very complicated scenario because anyone will accept any type of role to make money and present themselves in so many ways. Now, regarding the presence of Kali Yuga, one need look no further in downtown and midtown Gainesville. We're very fortunate to live in this town because we have the living presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam right there just around the college campus. It's a very unique situation. I've been exposed to this a little bit more recently than I have in the past years that I've been here. Any weekend evening, you find packs of young women going from one bar and a club to another, just in their little groups and crowds. And why are they doing this? Because the businessmen are very expert at cheating. Free drinks for all single women. Because they know if they get all the single women in there and they get all their free drinks, and the men will follow. Because the men, they're controlled by sex desire. So this is all, you know, for the purpose of being successful in their business endeavors and exploiting other persons. And then for the two different groups, the men and the women, to end up exploiting each other. And this goes on well into the night. Well into the night. 2, 3, 4 a.m. And this leaves no opportunity for rising early to attend Srimad Bhagavatam class. Rising early, sometimes this is the time you're actually going to take rest. Just getting ready to go to bed at this hour. So this is not the abnormal practice in Kali Yuga. This is not something out of the ordinary. Oh my God, in that town, it's just so horrible. It's like that everywhere. You can see the real presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam right before your eyes in this simple manner. So, now, this first verse noted that women are smaller in this age. It gave another list of qualities that women possess in this age. But on this particular one, I thought, if the women are smaller, how much smaller are the men? And then I was reminded of a story from the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sridham and Nitai, Balaram, at Govardhan. So one day, Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys, they were all playing a game of hide and seek near Govardhan Hill in the forest around there. In the middle of the game, Krishna decides, all right, let's go to Navadvip. I want to have my Gaura Leela. Now, I mean, we have a whole timeline for our linear thought process of how this takes place. But in Krishna's timeline, it's simply, okay, let's go have Gaura Leela. So taking all the cowherd boys with him, Krishna, Balaram, and all his friends, he disappeared from Braj and manifested in Navadvip, the original time traveler, if you will. So he invented there, and somehow or another, they forgot Sridham. Now, this was partially due to the fact that Sridham was very expert at hide and seek. He was hiding in a cave. And so they all went. So they assembled in Navadvip. Mahaprabhu and begins his Sankirtan pastimes, and they're having kirtan, and suddenly he looks around and he sees that Sridham's not with them. Well, we forgot Sridham. And he becomes very, very much pained, because Sridham's one of the very dear cowherd boys. And he started crying and fainted right on the ground. And he regained his consciousness and called out to Nitai, Balaram, "Where is my Sridham gone?" Nityananda picked him up and embraced him. And he said, "I will go and find Sridham for you, my dear Lord. Do not worry." So Nitai went back to Vrindavan as Nitai in the time of Krishna's pastimes, in the vicinity of Govardhan Hill, and he began calling out Sridham's name. "Oh, Sridham! Sridham! Oh, Sridham, come out!" What's that we used to have when I was a kid? Ali, Ali, oxen for it? It was like, okay, the game's over, everybody come out. So Sridham hears someone calling his name. So he comes out of hiding, and he sees Nitai standing in front of him. He says, "Who are you? What's your name, and why are you calling my name?" Nityananda says, "You don't recognize me." He says, "No, I don't recognize you. Short little guy you are, who are you?" He says, "I'm Nitai. I'm actually Balaram. We've gone to Kali Yuga, all the Lord and his associates, and in Kali Yuga everyone is smaller. You don't recognize me?" And Sridham said, "You can't be Balaram." He said, "Everyone knows that one's two hands are equal. So here's what we do. I'm going to clap my hands and start running around Govardhan Hill. If you can catch up with me, then maybe you're Balaram." So Sridham pulled his dhoti up between his legs, tucked it in, because you can't run with your dhoti down around your ankles. I'm sorry, you just can't do it. He pulled it up like a wrestler, wrapped it around his waist, took off running around Govardhan Hill. Running. One time round. Two times round. Three times round. Now, I've gone around Govardhan a lot. And running very fast, three times around. Four times around. As he gets near the end of the fourth time, his dhoti becomes a little loose and starts to fall. And he stops to tighten it and looks over his shoulder. And there's Nitai right next to him. So he says, "All right, I'm sorry I doubted you. But your appearance in this Kali Yuga you're describing, it had me confused. Anyway, why did you come looking for me?" "Well, the Lord has fallen conscious in your separation. We didn't take you with us, and he wasn't able to see you, so he became very much disturbed." He said, "Kanaya's gone also?" He still had not made the connection, you know. His Kanai was also Gora there. So Nityananda said, I'm telling you, please, just listen carefully. We've all gone to Navadvipuri. If you'll come and accompany me, then you can come and take part in our pastimes there, and everything will be complete again." So Sridham says, "I'm not going. You want me to go there and I have to sit in some mother's womb for 10 months and wait to come out? No, I'm not doing that. Besides, you all left me behind in the cave and forgot about me, so I'm not going anywhere with you." You can see the cowherd boys have these nice pastimes with each other. And Yana says, all right, anyway, just come with me, and when we see Krishna, you can discuss it all with him. But, you know, you have to put your proper dress on, you know. So Sridham left and said, "Okay, I'll go, but you have to carry me on your shoulders. After all, from running so much, my feet, they've become very heavy. I can't walk anymore." So Nityananda says, "If I say no, then you'll advertise to everyone that I was too weak and couldn't carry you. You're the chief of the cowherd boys. So just consider this fact that you're going to win, and I'm just going to have to carry you regardless." So Sridham hears this, and he submits a little bit. He says, well, anyway, after all, you and I are just the same. We're sometimes on Krishna's side, sometimes on the opposite side of Krishna. Sometimes you carry me, sometimes I carry you. And Nityananda said to Sri Rama, he said, yes. He said, Kanhaiya is completely subjugated by your love. None of his pastimes are beyond your perception. All the other cowherd boys always sing your praises. So come on now, let's go and meet Gauranga. So Sri Rama was convinced by this, and in this way, they went to the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Navadvipa. Sri Rama got there and was a little concerned. They all had shaved heads. Now, cowherd boys don't have shaved heads. They have nice locks of hair with peacock feathers in them and crow feathers and all kinds of feathers and different flowers and, you know, and all the associates of Mahaprabhu all had shaved heads. Mahaprabhu explained to him, yes, in this age, it is renunciation. It is austerity. That is how people can cross over the ocean of material suffering. So he explained to Sri Rama, actually, Gaura Lila and Krishna Lila, they're one and the same. This is an important thing for us, and this gives credence to the books of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Kavi Karnapur, describing the pastimes of the Lord in both eras and who those personalities are. He says, I've come as my own devotee just to get a taste of devotional service. This is why I've come. He said, from this day forth, your name in this Leela will be Abhiram. And this is Abhiram Das Thakur. This is how Abhiram Das Thakur came to be in Gaura Lila. So, as far as a dwarfed appearance, ladies being shorter, men being shorter, you know, this is the fact, but it has its wonderful place in the pastimes of the Lord. So we strive to find Shastric proof of the shortcomings we find in life. Here we have clear proof from our Shastra and from, as I mentioned, the details we see in the own town we live in of the anarthas that are present in this world, the things we do not need, the things that are not essential. So what do? Well, we go back to the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. Mana nukulam pravase bhagavata pradana. Your words are pleasing to our mind because they are spoken by the chief of devotees. But not everyone's going to be interested in listening to the words of Srimad Bhagavatam or rising early enough to hear those words. So what do we do about that? Well, we go back to the summary chapter, the summary of this chapter, where it says that this chapter describes how even though the age of Kali is full of faults, which we've already listed, and they can go on and on, the glorification of the name of Lord Hari destroys all those faults. It continues. Those persons will be freed from all bondage and easily achieve the supreme destination simply by chanting the glories of his name and taking shelter of him. So we have no shelter, but where is the shelter to be found? Right here, the shelter of the holy name. But if somehow or other the supreme personality of Godhead becomes manifest within the hearts of the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga, then all faults of the place, time, and personality that are inherent to the age of Kali will be destroyed. Let me repeat that. It's very important. If somehow or other the supreme personality of Godhead becomes manifest within the heart of the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga, then all faults of place, time, and personality inherent with this age will be destroyed. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but it possesses one great quality. Prabhupada would sometimes say, he would use the word vimudha, vigyan, you know, like that, to very much so. It emphasizes it. So he says here, one great quality. Not one quality, not a good thing, one great quality. And what is that great quality? Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can be delivered from material association and attain the absolute truth. It's that easy. The summary mentions how in Satya Yuga there was great meditation and Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga, all these different things. But in Kali Yuga, just chant. Just by that chanting, we can be delivered from material association and attain the supreme truth. Harinam Sankirtan can deliver all these persons who manifest these qualities and ourselves when we happen to fall short and manifest these qualities from all the influences of Kali Yuga. And we see it over and over and over again. Here in Gainesville, the devotees of the Krishna house, they go out into these same bars and clubs I was describing, and they do Harinam Sankirtan. And one of the good benefits, if one can say a good benefit, of intoxication is that your inhibitions become a little lowered. So they're very eager to chant and throw their hands up and dance with the Harinam party. Some of them even chant the holy names. Some of them even know the holy names. And they chant along with the Harinam Sankirtan party. So they've gone out for one thing. They've sought one type of a party, right? This is the prominent factor. I meet college students every day. And this is the prominent factor of college students. What they're looking for, how to party. And you may be aware of the fact that of the top 10 party colleges in America, University of Florida always ranks in the top 10. So if you're looking to party, this is the place to be. So, but they've come in contact with another type of party, the Harinam party. The Harinam devotees, they're always so happy, so joyful, dancing and playing and instruments and all, so they want to take part. Oh, okay, here's another party. Well, we thought we were going to that party, but we're going to the Mahaprabhu's party instead. And they end up having just as much fun, more fun, because that fun is eternal. We also see this at Woodstock, in the Polish festival. Thousands, and I mean literally thousands of kids taking part in the chanting and dancing of the Maha Mantra. And there, because we've been doing this for 24 years, 26 years? I forget how many. These kids know the Maha Mantra. They chant along full tilt. Why? Because they came for a party. And what party did they get? Party of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and downtown, New York City, Union Station, that park there, the devotees have been going out for years now, sitting down and doing Harinam Sankirtan. People stop by, you see, they dance, they chant, they clap along, they enjoy everything very nicely. So this is the redeeming quality of Kali Yuga. This is the shelter that we seek. This is the service we can render. To take shelter of the holy name and to serve the holy name by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And by doing that, Manda Sumanda Matayo becomes eliminated. All that is removed and all good fortune comes instead. So these words of Mother Bhumi, we can see are very beneficial. Prabhupada says in another class, he starts the class off, he says, therefore. And then he explains. When one says therefore, this means as a conclusion. That the evidence has been presented, so now here's the conclusion. So according to Mother Bhumi, therefore, the taking up of the Harinam Sankirtan, the taking up of the holy name, is the only good quality of this age. We can't look to people to have personal redeeming good qualities. And the list here, I mean, I don't have to repeat it again, we've all heard it many times. But we can look to the shelter of the holy name and render that service, and then by doing that, we actually develop the good qualities of Vaishnavas. So these are the important instructions from Mother Bhumi. One can read these verses and focus on the fact that women have so many bad qualities, and the businessmen have so many bad qualities, and the politicians have so many bad qualities, and that men have so many bad qualities. Or one can read these verses and try to understand what is Mother Bhumi telling us. And she's telling us to take up the shelter of the holy name, because it's the only redeeming quality of this age of Kali. So we'll finish there, right on time, 8:45, just like I'm supposed to, like a good boy. I thank everyone very much. If anyone has any questions, comments, corrections, we're happy to take them. Otherwise, we can continue tomorrow with more Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. All right? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.